The theme for our devotion this morning is Christ's silence fulfilled our deliverance. It's based on Matthew 26, verse 54. Jesus said, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The fulfillment of Scripture is an amazing thing. It is a miraculous act of God. It's amazing for many reasons, but first and most importantly, it's amazing because the eternity of our souls depends on it. If Scripture had not been fulfilled by Jesus in the way that it was preordained by the Father, we would be eternally lost. Absent his obedience to God's will, both in action and in inaction, all would be lost. We would be doomed to suffer an eternity of punishment and separation from God. If you've been paying attention as we've been walking through Jesus' passion over the last several weeks, we see which and what type of questions Jesus was willing and compelled to answer. God's word has shown us that he only spoke to things that either would, could, or did lead to the fulfillment of Scripture and God's will. Otherwise, he remained silent. And Christ's silence fulfilled our deliverance. The words of our text this morning, they were said by Jesus shortly before he was arrested in the garden. They were in response to Peter losing his head in a moment of weakness. After Jesus' arrest, he was brought before the high priest. So we have the true, perfect high priest being put under oath by a carnal, conniving high priest. His name was Caiaphas. He asked our Lord this question, "I charge you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus replies only as he can, "I am. Ego, I me." Not only did he confess the truth in this instance, but his answer, as he knew it would, it brought him closer to completing his work here on earth, and it would not hinder God's plan. He would not interfere in its coming to completion. The death sentence he just agreed to would keep all of us out of hell. The temptation to do otherwise had to have been there, especially since he was being falsely accused, and because he was also a man, just like us. The devil was constantly trying to thwart him and God's plan for our salvation and our eternal good. But Jesus would only answer in such a way. In such a way that he knows will work to our eternal good and was in accordance with God's holy will. Christ's silence fulfilled our deliverance. Imagine how we would react in similar circumstances, which according to our sinful nature is hard, if not impossible, to do. We tend to give ourselves too much credit, don't we? What if we were called on for ourselves, after or during our life of sin and shame, to be put on trial by men like these? Men who literally intend to crucify us. They want to crucify us in the manner that the Romans crucified Christ, for being who we are according to our flesh. What if we had to depend on ourselves against accusations of actual sins that we've committed? Sins that would be accurate and would be true. As they question us, how underwhelming would our response have been to the high priest or Pilate? Certainly, in our weakness of flesh, in our sin-soaked existence, we would have come up with any excuse in the book, right, to save our neck? We should be silent in our guilt. But what does our flesh do? It will object. It'll lie. deflect our sin onto someone else. Whatever it takes, right? The fact is, we should never have even made it. We would have never even made it to the garden that night for sake of fear. Fear of the potential, no, the certainty of being taken to task for our disgusting lives. Like the many examples we are familiar with from the Bible, we would have run away. We would have run away like the disciples. We would have run away from the mob and the face of the Lord, if that were possible. Without Christ, without faith, without regeneration by the Holy Spirit, we are carnal, helpless, guilty. Jesus, unlike us, he was an innocent man. He never sinned. He never transgressed against God's holy law. Yet somehow he was on his way to being condemned to crucifixion. And all because of false accusations. This hardly seems fair or right, does it? Isaiah the prophet told us this 700 years ahead of time so that we would recognize Jesus as our Savior, the Savior of the world. He wrote, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53:7. On the one hand, with all the recorded instances of Jesus remaining silent in the midst of oppression, affliction, and accusation, he was fulfilling the words of Scripture. On the other hand, he was quietly waiting on the deliverance of the Lord for us. He is the Son of God, our salvation. He is giving to us and to the world by the Father, as he's given to us by the Father, as a means of grace, an undeserved gift of deliverance from the eternal gnashing, burning despair, and pain of hell. Christ's silence fulfilled our deliverance. Jesus is our grace. He is our undeserved love from God. Jesus quietly and willingly allowed the Lord's will to play out in just the way it was supposed to happen, through him. And it ended with him on the cross, suffering the torments of hell for each and every soul that ever was. We could picture ourselves there. But because he went there for us, we don't have to. All that needed to be fulfilled was fulfilled. And on account of his great love for us, and yes, for the world too. How easy is it, though, for us to lose our heads and lose our childlike faith in times of fear and anxiety? We resemble Peter, right? When he cut off the ear of Malchus. We become distressed by all the evil that's happening in the world around us. We are bold, zealous, confident in times of peace, but fearful, cowardly, and rash in times of trial and distress. Not our Savior, though. Unfortunately, his silent, obedient behavior is what wins the day, and not just the day, but eternity. In the end, because of Jesus, God the Father sees us through his Son. Because Jesus took our fear and our cowardice to the cross too. Our Father in heaven now sees only fearless, confident, sinless saints who are willing and eager to serve him. Just as he was pleased with his perfect Son, now through Jesus' death and resurrection, he sees us through the perfect righteousness that Jesus achieved. Through Christ, God is pleased with us. Praise be to God for our perfection that's given to us on account of Christ's merit. Praise be to God, he brings us to repentance through his word and the sacraments, because we can't repent or be perfect on our own. Our perfection was fulfilled through the faithful, silent, obedient nature of Jesus Christ our Lord. Whenever we open our mouths and complain or cry out in weakness, we know we have a Savior who never did. And he gives us that same reality. Christ's silence fulfilled our deliverance. The fulfillment of Scripture is truly an amazing thing. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. We close with hymn 364. Hymn 364, verses 1 to 3, 5, and 7. 1 to 3, 5, and 7.